Lecture topic, The Luminous Light, Part 2.
There's nothing to drink. And when she said nothing, she literally meant there was nothing. What emotions must have crossed the heart of that Nabi? My child walks in arrogantly, opens the fridge, gets into the microwave, takes something from the freezer, there's nothing for me to eat. It's pride, it's arrogance, everything is there. Nabi alayhi salam said, okay my baby, okay my daughter, now wilini ahadahuma, pass me one of the children. So she passes one of the children, taht al-khadr, beneath the curtain. Abu Huraira said, I'm looking. Fa'adla'alahu lisanahu. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then put his blessed tongue in the mouth of Hassan. And I'm green with envy. You know, you put a pacifier in your child's mouth. Sometimes nowadays I think they need pacifiers for adults also. When she goes on a tangent or he goes on a tantrum, my wife, they've just invented something for you. Maybe it will be in your good interest. You put a pacifier, Hassan had the saliva of my Nabi. Hassan had the saliva of my Nabi. فَأَدْلَعَلَهُ لِسَانَهُ وَجَعَلَ يَمُسُّهُ Abu Huraira says, and he's just sucking on to the blessed tongue of Nabi alayhi salam. حَتَّى هَدَأَ And then he puts him off. You know, the woman normally, they take the children and then they sing their songs and whatever it is, and they pacify the child. Then Nabi alayhi salam said, نَاوِلِينِ al-akhar. Fatima, slip me the other one. So she says, I slipped Hussein radiallahu anhu. My master then helped him, held him, embraced him, cuddled him, put his blessed tongue. Imagine that blessed tongue. The finger split the moon. What that tongue must have had in it. The finger split the moon. What that tongue had, I don't have words. So she says, I put my, Nabi alayhi salam put his tongue. He entertained them. Hatta hada'a fama asma'u lahuma buka'un. They slept so peacefully and they had a peaceful night. I'm saying, look at how active, how committed, how present the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Another very amazing thing of Nabi alayhi salam's life was, in everything, he was a very, very considerate human. Now unfortunately, you know, today, like someone says, common sense is no longer common also. There are basic norms that we need to understand. Let's look at the hadith of Bukhari. Nabi alayhi salam says, I'm performing salah. فَأَسْمَعُ بُكَاءَ السَّبِيِّ I would hear a child crying, فَأَتَجَوَّزُ فِي صَلَاتِ I would then wrap up my salah briefly, accommodating the restlessness of that child and the uneasiness of the mother. What did Nabi alayhi salam, I mean salah, engaged in salah, where we know what was the relation he enjoyed, but when I would hear a child crying, I would respect the sentiments of that child, be cognizant of the emotions of that mother, فَأَتَجَوَّزُ فِي صَلَاتِ Aisha radiallahu anha said he would enter the house, dakhala ruwaydan, inta'ala ruwaydan. He would remove his shoes gently. He would open the door in a very gentle way. He would make a salam in a manner that those that were awake heard it. Those that were sleeping did not hear it. Today we walk in loud, assalamu alaikum. I'm sleeping. My brother, salam. Astaghfirullah. You don't want to even make salam. That what our ummah is going through. Now those are the time we want to advocate nobility, piety, and you know, holier than thou attitude. My Aisha radiallahu anha said, he would slip with me into the bed, not deny me my moment of seclusion. Talk to me, like often, and I often say it to my wife, and she'll bear me out on this here. Generally, it's a tedious day, it's a long day, there are multiple tasks, and to catch up with the events of the day, it's the time when you retire to bed together. You know what, I was here, this is what happened, I met so-and-so, this one phoned, this one emailed. So you catch up, what provided you're transparent, because nowadays there's a lot of things you don't want to say also. That's another problem. And that obviously lends itself into other you know, incorrect things that exist in the relation. So it's a good moment to catch up with the events of the day, and then obviously, you know, have some quality time together. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I salute the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He would slip into the bed, talk to me, be with me. Although he wants to spend the night in ibadat, he would wait, and then when he would be convinced, I have fallen off to sleep, then he will gradually sneak out. So one side, he wants to spend the night in ibadat, but then he's not oblivious of my obligation. When my master does not ignore the right of his wife, because he wants to spend the night in salah, how do you find justification to deny your wife that seclusion? Because you're playing pool? Because you're busy doing some other activity, some other entertainment, because you're watching some other match. My master wants to devote his night in salah. As the Quran said, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ إِنْقُصْ If you look at these words, how Allah you know, engage Nabi Alayhi Salaam, make it half a night, make it two thirds, make it one third, make it apportioned. Allahu Akbar. What an intimate dialogue and discussion that goes on. The narration of Dari Qutni, I will share the you know, just to appreciate the authenticity. Dari Qutni says, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Bahili, qala haddathana Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Amawi, qala haddathana Abdatu ibn Sulaiman an Hisham an Urwa an Aisha an Abihi, qalat qultu ya Rasulallah, inni araka tadkhulu al-khala, thumma yaji'u alladhi ba'dak, fala yara lima yakhruju minka athara. O Nabi of Allah, amazing, you go and relieve yourself. Then often I go to the very location to relieve myself. I don't find a speck of anything dirt, or I don't find anything left in that environment. It's spick and span, it's clean, yet I instantly use the facility immediately after you. How is this possible? O Nabi of Allah, you relieve yourself, ثُمَّ يَجِيءُ الَّذِي بَعْدَكَ, then somebody else comes, فَلَا يَرَى لِمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْكَ أَثْرَى, there's no trace that you have relieved yourself. Now, us, the trace is quite far. You know what? I think there's toilet somewhere close by. Nabi alayhi salam said, أَمَا عَلِمْتِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْأَرْضَ أَن تَبْتَلِعَ مَا خَرَجَ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ قَالَ هَذَا سَنَدٌ ثَابِتٌ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ حَسَّانٌ ثِقَةٌ صَالِحٌ وَعَبْدَةُ بْنُ سُلَيْمَانٌ مِنْ رِجَالِ الشَّيْخَيْنِ. That's an academic debate to appreciate the authenticity of the narration. Nabi alayhi salam said, Aisha, I thought you know this. This is the decree of Allah with all the prophets. Whatever they pass from their body, urine, stool, or anything, Allah has instructed the earth to instantly swallow it. Allah has instructed the earth. My brothers, yours divinely is not going to be swallowed, but there is obviously a cistern and a chain there if you can make use of it. On the reverse, maybe the earth will flush it out. The earth flushed out the body of Fir'aun. فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَانَ فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةٌ. When they put him in the water flung him out. Man, don't contaminate him, me. Look for something else. They put him in the earth threw him out. Look for something else. We're better off without him. I'm saying, be cognizant of those. How often people abuse the facility and a person's got a habit of smoking, Allah guide and reform one and all. He obviously leaves about this foul smell. Thereafter you use the facility. Now when you're walking out, the guy that walks in afterwards, he looks at you, but my brother, now how many people do I say that, you know what, it was the gentleman before me. The Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam accommodated. Understand my brother, you're just not the only human that inhabits earth. They are fellow humans and they are fellow creatures. Nabi alayhi salam said, don't urinate in the ant hole. He didn't only say respect fellow humans. Today you want to teach us about civilization and human rights and animal rights, and you want to have this campaign and that campaign. Nabi alayhi salam said, don't urinate in an ant hole. A poor ant will think there's floods, man. And the water is quite hot. He said, do not use the bone for istinja. فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَادُ إِخْوَانِكُمْ مِنَ الْجِنِ. On that bone, Allah creates food for your jinn, brothers. So respect the others that coexist, that equally inhabit the planet like you. Respect. I'm saying the message is from the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learn to respect and accommodate the others that also inhabit the earth. Now another very important thing, and these are different lessons that we need to deduce, was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is in the Shamail al-Tirmidhi as well, kana yaqbalu udhra al-mu'tadhir. Nabi alayhi salam was a person who accepted the apologies of those who apologized. He wasn't proud, he wasn't arrogant, he wasn't obstinate, and don't forget, the most hideous of crimes were perpetrated against him. Nobody has offended us as much as the disbelievers had offended him. But unconditionally, in one word, I have pardoned you, he could wrap up the chapter and close the chapter and move on with life and say it's gone, forgotten, and it's over. They say a woman will forgive and forget. Woman forgive and forget. But they'll never let you forget that she forgave. Woman will forgive and forget. But she will never let you forget that she forgave. Anyway, you know, before it gets a bit too one-sided, at least she forgives. We don't even maybe. I need to score both sides, brothers. The Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on the journey of hijrat. Allahu Akbar. وَإِذْ فَشَلْ إِسْلَامُ بِالْمَدِينَةِ هَاجَرَ فِيهَا مَنْ يَحْفَذُ دِينَ وَعَزَمَ الصِّدِّيقُ أَنْ يُهَاجِرَ فَرَدَّهُ النَّبِيُّ حَتَّى هَاجَرَ مَعًا إِلَيْهَا فَتَرَافَقَا إِلَى غَارِ ثَوْرٍ وَمَعَهُمَا عَامِرٌ مَوْلَى الصَّدِيقِ وَابْنَ أَرِيقَةٍ دَلِيلٌ لِلطَّرِيقِ فَأَخَذُوا نَحْوَ طَرِيقِ الصَّاحِلِ وَالْحَقُّ لِلْعَدُوِّ خَيْرُ شَاغِلِ تَبِعَهُمْ صُرَاقَةُ بْنُ مَالِكٍ يُرِيدُ فَتْكًا وَهُوَ غَيْرُ فَاتِكِ. Nabi alayhi salam decides to migrate to Medina, and Abu Bakr is with him. These are the couplets in Sirat Mustafa. With him is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. With him is Amir ibn Fuhayra, who is the slave of Abu Bakr, and Abdullah ibn Ariqat, who was the guide on the road. The disbelievers had offered the 100 camel reward. If you can nab the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can apprehend him, intercept him, dead or alive, walk away with 100 camels. Suraqa ibn Ju'shum ibn Malik says, I was tempted. When I heard this, I said, I mean, you know what, if I can secure this, I've taken care of, you know, so many years of my family and my livelihood. So I said, I'm going to pursue, but I need to camouflage, disguise, and put my act together. I was sitting there, Nabi alayhi salam had left. Someone came and said, you know what, I seen some horsemen advancing in the distance. I think that's that Quraysh gentleman, and let's pursue them and try and intercept them. So I intervened and I said, no, it cannot be them. I think you got your facts muddled up. It's not them. And the whole reason is I didn't want them to pursue because I wanted the 100 camels. So that's why I did it. Now how often this doesn't happen? A person phones you, you know what, you're in the street, yeah, I got a container to clear. Watch, hey, don't touch it, you'll burn your hands. That man, keep away from him. You drop the call, hey, Assalamu alaikum, I heard you got a container, you didn't tell me? You know I'm here, man, come on, man. Yeah, listen, anytime you come to me first, right? We'll sort it out, yeah. Let me know. My brother, that's your blood brother. My Nabi said, when he comes and asks you, that's a trust, that's an amana. You have to be diligent, you have to be honest, you have to be faithful, you have to be loyal. You cannot violate the trust of your brother. Anyway, I told my slave girl, take my horse and take it beneath this tree at a distance. I got hold of my sword, I sneaked out. I didn't want to make a big noise about it because I wanted to come back with the 100 camels myself. Anyway, I got onto my horse and I put chase. وَيَجْتَهِدُ صُرَاقَةُ لِيَلْحَقَ بِالرَّكْبِ. Now this is what I tell you, my brother, and listen to the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. He says, I get on, I'm trotting, I'm galloping, I'm advancing. The Master looks back and the earth splits. And the legs start sinking down. I realize that now I'm obviously in a problem. So I apologize. I say, oh Muhammad, wa yastaghith. I call out for help. Look at the kindness of Nabi alayhi salam. Yastajib. He responds. He replies. I said, oh Muhammad, this is apparent that this is as a result of your curse. Could you revoke your curse and perhaps free me of this crisis in which I am? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have forgiven you and I have excused you. He said, I decided now, you know what, my life is at risk. Never mind the 100 camels, as one horse will go. And that's what's happening. You're going for tatam a million, you're losing your 2 rand. If you read the paper 2 weeks ago, supposedly a man from one of the rural areas was going to walk away with some 90 million, and then you hype up his sentiments, you elevate him to this level, and then, actually the numbers don't synchronize. The numbers don't synchronize, and you take him up, and you put him in the front, you hype him up, you thrill him up, you give him this boost that, you know what, everything is done, and then, there's a mistake, actually, it's not your figures and not your numbers. So leave the 100 camels, you will lose the one horse. But then he said, you know what? I said, but 100 camels, man, 100 camels, well, winners know when to stop. I said, let me go again. So I got on again. That's what's happening to the brother. My brother, you burnt your hands with interest. How many times more do you want to burn? You want to burn your whole family? You want to lose your children? You want to be swallowed? Allah took you out of this hole. You've seen the misery, you've seen the discord, you've seen the unpleasantness, you've seen the hiccups, you've seen the bickering it brought. You still go back that same road? لا يلدغ المؤمن من جحر واحد مرتين. My Nabi said, it does not behove the dignity of a believer that when he's bitten once, he goes there again. Once bitten, twice shy. My Nabi said, when a believer is bitten once, he learns his lesson for life. He learns his lesson for life. Anyway, Suraqa said, I strap up again and I go. I said, no man, let me try. I go again, the Nabi looks and the earth splits and I start going sinking down. I apologize. Every time I apologize, the clemency of a Nabi, he accepts my apology and pardons me without admonishing me for the previous wrong. I mean, What do I say? Someone came to the illustrious scholar Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, and he said, how many times should I overlook the mistakes of my employee? He said, as many times as you would want Allah to overlook your mistakes. How many times should I be, as much as you want Allah to be tolerant, that is how much you must display tolerance. He said, the third time I strapped up, I said, my last time. I said, let me go. And again, the master sallallahu alaihi wasallam glances, the earth splits. I realize now it's done deal. Now I'm really getting myself deeper and deeper into this situation. I said, oh Muhammad of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I sincerely apologize and I would like to come and speak to you. Nabi alayhi salam allowed him to come forward. As he comes forward, he then expresses his iman, submission, and he accepts the faith. And then he offers Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam food. I have some drinks with me because I was coming alone, ace out. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, we're fine, we're taken care of. He then asked Nabi alayhi salam, could you write for me, you know, in some leather piece that you have, that you've given me amnesty and that you will not hold this against me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Amir ibn Fuhayra, who was the scribe and was part of the companions, grip a piece of leather and just write out that we acknowledge him, we've pardoned him, and we've closed the chapter, it's over. He writes this, this was communicated. Nabi alayhi salam said, now you do me a favor, لا تتركن أحدا يلحق بنا. You just make sure that nobody comes close to us and don't divulge our whereabouts to anyone. And this is what scholars write, كان أول النهار جاهدا على رسول الله وآخر النهار حارسا على رسول الله. In the beginning of a day, he walks in as a spy, but the master converts his spy into his bodyguard. The master converts his spy into his bodyguard, his enemy into his devout companion. In the morning, he's trying to apprehend him. In the evening, he's warding off any other attacks. And he says, move on, folks. Why? The case is done. You won't able to get close. Nabi alayhi salam said, listen, Suraqa, the tale is much long. I don't have time to discuss, but listen to me properly. كَيْفَ بِكَ إِذَا لَبِسْتَ سِوَارَ كِسْرَ إِبْنِ هُرْمُزِ. You know what? I'm going to Medina. You go back to Makkah. Islam will spread across the Arabian Peninsula. Islam will go far and wide. Rome and Persia will be conquered. The bracelet of the ruler of that time will come into the spoils of the Muslim, into the spoils of the Muslims. And when this spoils will be distributed, you will be present at that time. You will be called forward and that bracelet will be put on your hand. Then you want to marvel at the predictions of Nostradamus. When your Nabi spelled it out. And obviously this happened, I don't have time to go in this. It happened during the reign of Umar ibn Khattab. قُلْ لِلْمُخَلَّفِينَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ سَتُدْعَوْنَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ تُقَاتِلُونَهُمْ أَوْ يُسْلِمُونَ فَإِنْ تُطِيعُوا يُؤْتِكُمُ اللَّهُ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. This conquering happened during the reign of Umar, according to one view. This incident of Persia and Rome that was conquered during the reign of Umar radiallahu anhu, and these verses indicated. Hence this verse is a subtle indication to the legitimacy of the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu as well. And when the spoils of the war was brought in, Umar radiallahu anhu teared. It was during his reign. He said, Suraqa, you remember the night of Hijrat. You remember when you wanted to apprehend the master and you came close and you were melted by his clemency. You accepted the faith and he told you a time will come, this bracelets will come on your hand. Give me your hand, and he put the bracelet on. And he said, say takbir, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillahi alladhi salabahuma min Kisra ibn Hurmuz, wa albasahuma suraqat al-a'rabi. Allah snatched it from the hand of the king and put it on the hand of an ordinary Suraqa, spot on as the master prophesized it. Suraqa comes back to Mecca. He calls Abu Jahl. He said, Aba Jahlin, wallahi law kunta shahida li amri jawadi idh tasukhu qawaimu. علمت ولم تشكك بأن محمدا رسول ببرهان فمن ذا يقاومه عليك بكف القوم عليك بكف القوم عنه فإني أرى أمره يوما ستبدو معالمه. Abu Jahl, I know I'm together and we've been in the forefront of the anti-Islamic campaign, but I got close to the man. I seen him one on one. I promise you the tale is very different. When I got close and I was about to strike and I came, you know, in close proximity, and just then the earth split and the legs of my horse started sinking down. And a mere glance from this Nabi melted me. I accepted my faith. I invite you, Abu Jahl, lest you regret on the day of Qiyamah. I invite you, Abu Jahl, lest you regret. Join me. I have embraced the faith. I am saying, now listen to this. Your Nabi alayhi salam is going for Hijrat. This is not a dedicated travel of inviting people. This is a very disc. أَخَذُوا نَحْوَ تَرِيقِ السَّاحِلِ. They took the coastal road. So at this time, the agenda is not to invite, but whoever comes into contact is just invited. I'm saying, my brother, exhibit his character. Exhibit his impeccable character. Even if you're going to China for business, or you're going to Paris for holiday, or Dubai for shopping, displaying his character, it has a natural attraction. It has a scent by itself. Suraqa is accepted, he accepts Islam. They go a little forward, Buraida Aslami comes, the narration of Dalailun Nubuwa. Buraida Aslami comes with an army of 70 people, all would-be assassins. What's the agenda? To assassinate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They come close. Now Nabi alayhi salam had a great sense of humor, and he often would deduce noble meanings from pleasant situations. In Islam, there's no room for bad omens or bad luck. La shu'mata fil Islam, the hadith is very explicit. However, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often make positive interpretations. So if a person's name was Suhail, which is derived from the word Sahal, one is Suhail means a star. Suhail is also derived from the word Sahal, which means ease. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, oh, Suhail came, then the matter is easy. So this is common in the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make these noble deductions. Anyway, this Buraida comes with a dedicated agenda to assassinate. Nabi alayhi sallam engages him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, who are you? He says, I am Buraida. Buraida is derived from the word Barada. Barada in Arabic means to be cool, to be calm. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Abu Bakr and he said, Baruda amruna wa saluha. If he's Buraida, then our matter is cool and calm. We chilled and relaxed. Nabi says, now you're talking to who? I mean, if you intercept a person who's committed treason and who intends or allegedly intended to kill the head of state, we know if that plan is foiled and intercepted, can you imagine the police contingency around it? You know what, such a hardcore criminal, and he has to meet the full might of the, you know, the full wrath of the law and all the bureaucracy that will come with it and all the formalities. Nabi alayhi salam is having a one-on-one discussion with 70 would-be assassins. Why? Because Allah said, Ya ayyuha ar-rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Oh Muhammad, you walk freely. Nobody will dare touch you. When this verse was revealed, Nabi Sassam then freed all the Sahaba of all formal duties of bodyguards. Allah revealed the verse, I mean his care. You guys can move away. You're more than welcome to be part of the crew, but care is divinely. Now you don't want to know how much they pay just for the entourage and how much money is going in, you know what, supposedly for protection and the rest of it. Anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, which tribe you belong to? He said, Aslam. Aslam in Arabic means one who submits, one who complies. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at Abu Bakr and he said, Salimna. Abu Bakr, we're safe and sound. They're from Aslam, so there's nothing to bother about. Things are getting more relaxed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, which branch of the tribe? He said, Mim Bani Sahmin. If you knew Arabic, then you would have appreciated it, because now I'm translating it to get to the actual joy of the quotation and the dialogue. So Saham in Arabic could mean share or could mean arrow. So when he said this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Kharaja Sahmuk, then your share in Islam is also confirmed. He melted, he smiled, he looked at his 70 companions, he came forward, he hugged the master, he read Kalima there and there. I'm saying this is the journey of Hijrat. Dalailun Nubuwa. Read the narration. Akhrajahu al-Bayhaqi fi Dalailin Nubuwa. He's going. This is not an announced visit. It's a secret visit. It's a disguised visit. Whoever is coming with nasty agendas have been swallowed in. Then he asked Nabi alayhi salam, O Nabi of Allah, can we be part of the convoy as you make the grand presence into Medina? Nabi Sassam said, you're more than welcome. The would-be assassins are part of the golden entourage. Oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, what a Nabi. What did my Nabi say? Addabani Rabbi fa ahsana ta'dibi. My Allah perfected me and He left nothing short in molding me to the level of perfection. He left nothing short. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Then anyway, he said, O Nabi of Allah, just a suggestion. You know, we're coming into Medina. There's obviously a presence and they're anticipating us. Would it not be great if we just create a bit of a flag? Nabi Sassam said, that's fine. He said, how about your blessed turban and my spear? Nabi Sassam said, that's a great combination. The master takes out his turban, puts it on his would-be assassin's spear. And Buraida says, I hold the flag. And in we come into Medina. one of the disbelievers stood on the hills of Medina. He said, Ya Bani Qila, Ya Bani Qila, Hada Jaddukum. Come, the man whom the entire Yathrib anticipated. Here he walks into Medina. Abu Bakr on the right and these 70 people around, and this grand presence happens into Medina. One other incident I just want to mention and shortly try and wrap up, inshallah. On the journey of Hijrat as well, Nabi alayhi salam comes to Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha. Umm Ma'bad appears in the Shama'il Tirmizi and in the other narrations in the description of the feature of Nabi alayhi salam. There was no food, there was no drinks. So Nabi alayhi salam knocked on and Umm Ma'bad was there, her husband Abu Ma'bad was out. Nabi alayhi salam said, is there any milk that you could spare us, any food? فَلَمْ يُسِيبُ عِنْدَهَا شَيْءٍ. Nothing was found. Nabi alayhi salam looked at one goat. Nabi alayhi salam said, this goat, you know, away from the entire herd and away from the entire flock. So Umm Ma'bad said, خَلَّفَهَا الْجُهُدُ. She's very frail and weak, and that's why she's been left behind by the entire flock. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَبِهَا مِنْ لَبَنِن. Can I milk the goat? So she answered, هِيَ أَجْهَدُ مِنْ ذَلِك. The animal is on the verge of death. I don't know where you're going to get milk. إِنْ رَأَيْتَ بِهَا لَبَنًا فَحْلِبْهَا. But try your luck. If you think you can get any milk out of it and you know how to do it, good luck, go for it. Nabi alayhi sallam said, that's fine. I just needed your consent. He sat down the narration of Sirat al-Mustafa as well as Khasa'if al-Kubra. He read Bismillah and then he gently just stroked the udder. And the milk started just brimming and just coming out. Nabi alayhi sallam said, can you get me a vessel quickly? So container was brought, the entire milk, the entire container was filled up. She was like blown off. Nabi alayhi sallam said, Umm Ma'bad, settle down, calm down, you drink first. Drink first, relax, have first. Nabi alayhi sallam gave her, she drank to her brim. Nabi alayhi sallam passed it around, told Abu Bakr, Abdullah ibn Ariqat, and Amir ibn Fuhaira, who were part as well, you people all have. Then Nabi alayhi salam said, do me a favor, get me another container, I will fill up another container for you as well. So that it is there for you as well. Look at the kindness of Nabi alayhi salam. The miracle was on him, he could do it, saturate himself and move on. But he said, let me leave for them sufficient that covers them as well. Let me leave for them sufficient that covers them as well. Nabi alayhi salam took another vessel, filled it up and gave it to them. And then he excused himself. They were saturated, they leave. Abu Ma'bad comes back. He's like, wow. Subhanallah, imagine you leave your wife with 500 and you come back in this 5,000. Now it's the other way around, you know. And how dare you ask where it went. You leave, it's high and dry, and here this container is full of milk. And the goat is running and jumping. So Abu Ma'bad says, my wife? And when and how and who and what? Ja'a rajulun mubarakun. Ja'a rajulun mubarakun. An amazing man came. You know what? This is his height. This is his complexion. في عنقه سطع, slightly tall. في لحيته كثاثة, a dense beard. حلو المنطق, sweet in his speech. Profound in his character. Sublime in his mannerism. He would gently stroke it and it filled up. Abu Ma'bad said, I am convinced this is that man of Quraysh. This is the man of Quraysh. They both come forward and they embrace the faith. They both come forward and they embrace the faith. Nabi alayhi salam and Abu Bakr barely leave the house, and this is mentioned in all the books of Sirat. There is this unseen voice that reads out these couplets. Jazallahu rabbun nasi khayra jazaihi. Jazallahu rabbun nasi khayra jazaihi. Khalilaini halla khaymatay ummi ma'badin. Huma nazalaha bil huda fahtadat bihi. فَقَدْ فَازَ مَنْ أَمْسَى رَفِيقَ مُحَمَّدِي لِيَهْنِ أَبَا بَكْرٍ سَعَادَةُ جَدِّهِ بِصُحْبَتِهِ مَنْ يُسْعِدِ اللَّهُ يَسْعَدِي لِيَهْنِ بَنِي كَعْبٍ مَقَامَ فَتَاتِهِمْ وَمَقْعَدُهَا You, Abu Bakr, 5 minutes are the 5 minutes of my life. That is why when somebody came and told Umar, read the narration of Hayatul Sahaba, أَنْتَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. Umar, I must tell you, one on one. Now we have these people that like to, you know what, throw sparks and like to fuel antagonism and to create skirmishes and to just hype up things. So one person came to Umar and he said, Umar, on a quiet, I need to have a one-on-one word with you. No problem. Umar, you know what, everybody is raving about Abu Bakr, all said and done, but honestly, according to me, you are far greater than Abu Bakr. Now we often get these sentiments. So what do we say? Talk louder. Do me a favor, the next time we meet, right? I'm going to just touch the topic, you bring it up again in a style. What did Umar say? Wallahi la laylatum min Abi Bakr. Wallahi la laylatum min Abi Bakr wa yawm khayrun min Umar wa Ali Umar. How dare you provoke antagonism and divide the Summa? The night of Hijrat where Abu Bakr accompanied the master, that is on one side of the scale. Umar and his progeny till Qiyamah cannot match that one night of Abu Bakr. Umar and his progeny till Qiyamah. لا يستوي منكم
من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا.
Those who responded in the early hours and those who came afterwards, they both could be called Sahaba, but you can't put them on one level of the scale. Quran said, create a distinction. They are two separate people. The poet goes on to say, it is unseen. He said, lucky was Umme Ma'bad. Luck came her way. Allah's Nabi stopped at her house, nobody else. Then the poet in these couplets, which was unseen. And then Hassan ibn Thabit added to those couplets. I will run into hours and I don't want to go into this here. The poet says it so amazingly. He said, if you don't know what I said, go to the tent of Umme Ma'bad and go and ask Umme Ma'bad, tell me the tale of that blessed man. But then he goes on to say, if you go to the tent and Umme Ma'bad is not there, then you can just as well ask the goat. The goat will narrate it. Oh my word. Salu ukhtakum an shatiha wa ina'iha. Salu ukhtakum an shatiha wa ina'iha. Fa innakum in tas'alu shata tashhadi. If Umme Ma'bad is not there, you know what? If the father is not there, speak to the son. If the son is not there, speak to the worker. She says, if Umme Ma'bad is, the poet says, if Umme Ma'bad is not there, the goat is there. The narration goes on. The narration goes on. Khasaisa Kubra, page 311. Umme Ma'bad said, we were counting the minutes, if not the seconds of this goat. We said, it's going any time. The others left it. By Allah, it lived the longest and outlived all the goats. By Allah, it outlived all the goats. Till came the time of drought. Imagine if a Nabi touches a goat, it becomes like this. If you touch the life of Muhammad, my brother, what would happen to your destiny? Pride yourself with his character. Revive his teachings. Shun his disobedience. Embrace his noble life. And stand up as ambassadors of this proud deen, of this beautiful deen. She said the time of drought and famine came. There wasn't grass, there wasn't water. People came to my house. The only goat that gave milk was this goat that Nabi alayhi salam touched and stroked while he was alive. Kunna nahlibuha sabuhan wa ghabuqa wa ma fil ardi qalilun wala kathir. You wouldn't get a sip of milk, and we were drawing gallons and buckets. We were drawing gallons and buckets. And what was it? Once the Nabi of Allah touched it. I've taken much time, my brothers. I'm saying this is the profound life of Nabi alayhi salam, whom Allah had molded to perfection. Hasunat jami'u khisalihi. I want to end on a note that is a bit emotional, but this is how I had thought that I would wrap up. And that was the sad demise of Nabi alayhi salam. And again, a point of reflection. There's so many wake-up calls. There's barely a day that goes by, and there's some tragedy. Someone is diagnosed with a cancer, with a tumor, there's a tragic incident, there's an accident, there's a catastrophe, there's an earthquake, there's a... You just want to get into a relaxing mode to say party and indulge, and your hard-hitting comes breaking news again. Or on the local front, on the domestic front, within your family structure, there's something happened, someone got admitted, some tragedy. So the wake-up calls are so many. I'll wrap up on this hadith, inshallah. Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha said, Nabi Sassam returned from Jannatul Baqi from a janazah. It was late night, he came home. فَوَجَدَنِي أَجِدُ سُدَاعًا. I had a headache, and he came home. So I was just, you know, holding my head, and I'm saying, wa ra'asa, what a headache, what a headache. So Nabi alayhi salam said, Aisha, you think you have a headache? بَلْ أَنَا wa ra'asa, I have a splitting headache. I have a really, really severe headache. And then lighthearted, they got chatting. And I think this is a common discussion, I know, you know, between yourself and my wife. And perhaps many couples can relate to this. Who will go first? You know? And The woman are commonly, yeah, I'll go. Then finally you get married to the woman you wanted. So the discussion went in that direction. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha, Aisha radiallahu anha said, but what if I pass away? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, if you pass away, you have a great consolation. Allah's Nabi will give you ghusl. Allah's Nabi will give you kafan. Allah's Nabi will see you lowered into the grave. Ghassaltuki, kafantuki, sallaytu alayki, wawaraytuki, wadafantuki. What an honor for you. I will be there. You are my partner, my spouse. I will pride myself and do it. Now, you know, there are certain things of a woman that is the nature, and you're not going to change this, and you can't work around this. It's foolish on our part that we try and change it. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, and then what you'll do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so passionately I'm saying I'll take care of you, I will hold you, do everything and lower you. My wife will be laughing because I read the hadith and I'm calling. I said, like, you know, look at this hadith. I mean, we marvel at Aisha, we salute her, we respect her, we honor her, we elevate her, we have utmost regard for her. She is our mother. And read hadith. What did Abu Musa Ash'ari say? Mashtakala alayna ashabu rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shay'an illa sa'alna Aisha. Abu Musa Ash'ari said, we the companions, when we face complexity in understanding and resolving hadith, we used to knock the door of Aisha. My sister, understand what a great legacy Aisha has left behind, radiallahu anha. That leave alone the female, the males used to knock her door for guidance and advice. She said, O Nabi of Allah, wallahi la raja'ta ila bayti wa ta'arrasta bi ba'di nisa'ik. Can I tell you what you'll do? Nabi Sassam said, yeah, I got a headache, I shall talk. What's it? You'll come straight home, call one of your other wives and get intimate in my house. Now, I mean, look at Nabi alayhi salam's calmness and composure. And it can only be the broadness of the shoulder of a Nabi. It can only be the broadness of the shoulder of a Nabi. Nabi alayhi salam, Aisha, I'm sick. Aisha, I just came from the janaza. No. Fatabassama Rasulullah. My Nabi only answered this provocation with respect by a smile. Nothing else. He smiled. He knew these were emotions and they had to run their course. They had to run their course. He didn't intervene. But the hadith says, ثُمَّ بُدِئَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And that was the point where the fatal illness formally commenced. There are dedicated kitabs that only speak on the illness. How many days, what? But this was the point where the fatal illness started. And I bring you to one narration. Jibreel comes down and he says, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَرْسَلَنِي إِلَيْكَ تَكْرِيمًا لَكَ وَتَشْرِيفًا خَصَّةً لَكَ. Allah has sent me to you, specially for you, to find out how you're doing. Nabi alayhi salam said, Jibreel, I'm not doing well. Ajiduni makruban mahzoonan, I'm sad, I'm depressed, I'm concerned, my health is not good. Jibreel goes away, the next day he comes back. O Nabi of Allah, Allah has sent me again just to find out how's your health, how are you doing? Nabi alayhi salam said, Jibreel, I'm not doing well. Nabi alayhi salam is the only person from all the Anbiya who had seen Jibreel in his original form twice. This is mentioned in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani and the Surah Najm. No other Nabi has ever seen Jibreel in his original form. Only Nabi alayhi salam, and twice. Once after the revelation of Surah Iqra, before the revelation of Muddathir, and one in the night of Mi'raj at Sidratul Muntaha. Same answer. The third day Jibreel comes, and he comes with a heavy presence of angels. There's an angel by the name of Ismail, there is Malakul Maut, and there are thousands of angels. Jibreel comes in again, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how are you feeling? Nabi alayhi salam said, I am not well, and my condition is pretty much as it was. Jibreel said, O Nabi of Allah, we've got some visitors with us here today, and amongst them is Malakul Maut. He's asking your permission if you allow for him to come in. I must add, O Nabi of Allah, مَسْتَأْذَنَ عَلَىٰ أَدْمِيٍ قَبْلَكَ وَلَا يَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَىٰ أَدْمِيٍ بَعْدَكَ. He never asks permission. He comes barging and does what he has to. You're the only person in the entire human history where Malakul Maut asks your permission. If you consent, O Nabi of Allah, he will very gracefully make his humble presence. If you decline, he will respect your choice and return. Nabi alayhi salam said, Jibreel, Nabi salam motioned him and to usher him in. He politely walks in. The angel Ismail is there, who's in charge of the malaika of the first heavens. In Mazahir Haq Jadid, the whole commentary of this hadith is given. He walks in, there is a presence of malaika, Jibreel is there, Malakul Maut is there. Jibreel then tells Malakul Maut, you know what, you can now obviously start the discussion. What do I say? You know, just one point in this discussion. When Aisha radiallahu anha was accused with zina, and then she came home, and then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, and then Umm Ruman radiallahu anha came, and Nabi alayhi salam came, and then Aisha radiallahu anha looked at the father and said, oh my father, explain the story. And Abu Bakr said, oh my darling daughter Aisha, I can explain and defend and give proof if I had to speak to anyone but Allah's Nabi. When it's Allah's Nabi, I can't muster the courage to explain anything, my daughter. I don't wish to neglect you or abandon you, but I'm lost for words. I know that's your husband and that's my, you know, that I appreciate the relation, but how do I start? I don't have those words. So Jibreel tells Malakul Maut that, you know what, you may go ahead. Malakul Maut said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah arsalani ilayk. Allah has instructed me that this moment I remove your soul. فَإِنْ أَمَرْتَنِي قَبَلْتُ. If you approve, very gently, very tactfully, I will gradually remove your soul. And if you decline, أَطَعْتُكَ, I will obey you. Nabi alayhi salam said, أَوَتَفْعَلْ يَا مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ. O Malakul Maut, will you really remove my soul? He said, بِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَطِيعَكَ. I am literally between a rock and a hard place. What a daunting challenge for Malakul Maut. Perhaps the only time he lost his breath. Perhaps the only time he was now, he said, I'm between a rock and a hard place. Allah has told me to remove the soul, and Allah either equally said, I must respect your sentiments. At that point, Nabi alayhi salatu was salam then just gazed at Jibreel. Scholars of hadith say that gaze was symbolic to consultation. Jibreel, what's the way forward? What a moment. What a presence of malaika. Just as the moment of arrival on which we commence the talk marks the greatest of moments, undoubtedly the moment of demise concludes the saddest of moments in the annals of human history. Nabi alayhi salam makes eye contact with Jibreel. Jibreel said, O Muhammad of sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if that is symbolic to consultation, the answer is, Inna Allah qad ishtaqa ila liqa'ik. Allah is passionately anticipating your return. Allah is passionately anticipating your return. He then looks at Malakul Maut, and I don't know how and what, how Malakul Maut brought himself to that. And he said, Malakul Maut, go and do what you have to do. And the greatest soul was removed, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, which Fatima radiallahu anha said, Ya Abata, ajaba rabban da'a, Ya Abata, ila Jibreel nan'a. Ya Abata Jannatul Firdausi Ma'wa. Oh my dad, you responded and said labbaik when your Allah called you. When someone passes away, we contact his close friends. Your closest friend was Jibreel. Do we contact Jibreel? Ila na'a yan'a, to convey the message of death. And there are many other meanings as well. Jannatul Firdausi Ma'wa. Your abode undoubtedly is Jannatul Firdaus. If you read Hisni Haseen, then there was a presence of Khidr alayhi salam, according to one narration, who then came forward and gave the Sahaba encouraging words. Gave them encouraging words, that these are words of consolation. Whoever will read this, فَإِنَّمَا الْمَحْرُومُ مَنْ حُرِمَ الثَّوَابُ. The message is to continue with the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fatima radiallahu anha said, مَاذَا عَلَى مَنْ شَمَّ تُرْبَةَ أَحْمَدْ أَلَّا يَشُمَّ مَدَى الزَّمَانِ غَوَالِيَا. مَاذَا عَلَى مَنْ شَمَّ تُرْبَةَ أَحْمَدْ أَلَّا يَشُمَّ مَدَى الزَّمَانِ غَوَالِيَا. If you were present in the burial of my father, and you put your hands on the grave of my father's grave, then rest assured you will be independent from fragrance till the day you die. You don't need deodorants, you don't need ithar, you don't need scent. You have smelt the sand of the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My brother, that was the demise and the saddest moment of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's bring the matter home. Where will I die? Definitely the angel of death is not going to come asking my permission. He will be coming barging. I hope he comes barging in a masjid to find me and not a casino. I hope he comes barging to find me in the path of Allah and not a club. I hope he comes to find me when I'm in contact with my partner and not a strange woman. I hope he finds me when I'm on the journey of Hajj and not signing a fraudulent deal. I hope he finds me when I've erased the traces of evil and I have deleted all the haram contacts. I hope he finds me when my pocket is free from haram, my thoughts are free from haram. My Nabi said, كَمَا تَعِيشُونَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُحْشَرُونَ. The manner in which you love, so will you die. And the manner in which you die, so will you meet your Creator. May Allah instill and infuse and internalize within us the noble, impeccable, flawless, outstanding character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we return here empowered with iman and we go and make a much contribution, a much needed contribution in reflecting the pristine and the noble life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Oh Allah, these brothers that have gathered here in the hundreds, oh Allah, the sisters that are listening over the airwaves, the sisters that have gathered here in the ladies' facility, all have come here to listen to the noble life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, indeed we are wicked and we are sinful, but we do associate ourselves to the pristine life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, we have united today on a common platform, on a common agenda, and that is to cherish the noble life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my Lord, by the mercy of the noble life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, envelope us all in your mercy, oh Allah. Allah, free our eyes from haram, free our ears from haram, free our tongues from vice and immorality and vulgarity, oh Allah. Let us return here as ambassadors of deen, oh Allah. Oh Allah, grant us deliverance in all our crises, socially, economically, domestically, internationally, oh Allah. Allah, those that have been victims of the recent catastrophes, Allah, Allah, grant them deliverance, O Allah. Grant the homeless homes, O Allah. Grant those that don't have any food, provide them with halal, wholesome meals, O Allah. Those that don't have shelter, O Allah, provide them with wonderful abodes, O Allah. Save us from your wrath and your might, O Allah. Save us from calamities and catastrophes, O Allah. O Allah, those of the Muslims that are continuing to be the victims of brutality and aggression at the hands of, O Allah, the disbelievers and those who perpetrate crimes against them, O Allah. Allah, grant them protection, safety and amnesty, O Allah. O Allah, we return to a soft bed and a good shower and a wonderful meal, while another child, O Allah, will be sleeping and his blood will be swallowed by the earth, O Allah. Another woman will become a widow somewhere in some part of the world, O Allah. Another child will walk without parents, O Allah. How many qabrs will be made this moment? How many bombs will fall upon this ummah? My agenda remains the same for the next morning. My sports, my entertainment, my activity, nothing changes in my life. Oh my Allah, my dead heart needs to be revived. Oh Allah, my heart has become more dead than the earth, Allah. Even the earth softens with a gentle rain, Allah. Floods of guidance has come, but this earth of this heart of mine is not softening, O Allah. O Allah, you make it fertile, O Allah. Allah, make this heart fertile, that akhlaq grows on it, Allah. تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. Make us the true resemblance of the nakhla, the date palm, as the hadith of Bukhari and the ayat of Surah Ra'd explains, O Allah. Oh Allah, give us that beautiful character, oh Allah. We are begging you, oh Allah. As the brothers of Yusuf said, وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاتٍ. That, O King, we have come with counterfeit notes. In fact, we are asking you, تَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا, be charitable upon us. Allah, we've come with counterfeit actions. We are asking you, take it as an excuse. Oh my Lord, you have said, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Do not rebuke the beggar. Who can be greater beggars than us, O Allah? O Allah, accept our humble begging before you, O Allah. Allah, this ummah is going through great strain, O Allah. Allah, it's going through strain on all levels, internally, physically, emotionally, socially, on every level, Allah. Allah, let us see some light. Let us see a glimmer of hope. Let us see a beacon, Allah. Even if it be at a distance, Allah, let us see some hope. Save us from despondency. O Allah, save us from all this drug and related intoxicants, O Allah. Save us from all immoralities, O Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ibaduka as-salihun wa na'udhu bika min kulli sharrin masta'adhaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ibaduka as-salihun antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، برحمتك يا رب.
Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.